grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. An elderly man who lived alone in Idaho wanted to till his sizable potato garden, but it was back-breaking work, and his son, who used to help him, was recently sent to jail. The old man mentioned this in a letter he sent to his son. He wrote, "I'm not sure exactly what to do. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. It looks like I won't be able to plant that garden this year after all." A few days later, he received a short note from his son. "Dad, for heaven's sake, don't dig up that garden. That's where we buried the loot from the heist." At 4 o'clock the next morning, a crew of police officers arrived to find the stolen property. After digging for hours, they gave up. They apologized to the old man and left. A few days later, the elderly gentleman received another letter from his son. "Dear Dad, under these circumstances, that's the best I can do. You should be able to plant your potatoes now." Well, sometimes we are like the stubborn earth, a stubbornness that stands in the way of experiencing a fully transformed life in Christ Jesus. Instead of trusting God, instead of taking His commands and His promises to heart, we let this flesh take control of our life. We let the flesh harden our hearts. We don't allow the garden of our soul to be tilled. We remain a potential garden in need of being tilled by the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, by Jesus. And a potential untilled garden will become hardened over time. Well, today's gospel lesson speaks to this. Close friends of Jesus were concerned about their brother Lazarus. He was sick, no doubt near death. So Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Today, there's a lot of fear and anxiety over the potential of carrying the coronavirus. It's nothing to take lightly, and so we are gathered in our homes and where we are able to still receive the Word of God. And we can look to Jesus, we can pray, we can let Him know our anxieties and our concerns. But it's interesting, when Jesus heard this, He said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And I think, what? How is that showing love? Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Well, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. And are you going there?" They're saying, "What?" And Jesus answered, "Well, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Jesus' time had not yet come. It was still day to work. It's still a day to till the hearts and souls of men and women and children. After these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he had fallen asleep, he will recover." And of course, now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." What? I think is what the disciples were thinking. Somehow Martha heard that Jesus was coming, and she heard it before Mary, so she went out to meet Jesus. Immediately, she affirms her faith by saying, "You know, Jesus, if you had been there, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said to her, Martha, your brother will rise again. And she responded, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus shares these strong words, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus proclaimed, I am the resurrection and the life. What did he mean when he said these words? Are they the same thing or are they different? When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he was clearly proclaiming and claiming that he was the source of both. He is the resurrection, which means that those who believe in him will live even if they die. This is the final resurrection, the one that Martha spoke about. Jesus was also making a statement concerning his nature, his divine nature. He does more than give life. Jesus is life. And therefore, death has no ultimate power over him. And Jesus confers this spiritual life on those who believe in him, so that they too will share his triumph over death. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He offers life to everyone who believes in him. And they will never die. For all eternity, they will never die. There is no resurrection apart from Christ. And there's no eternal life apart from Christ. He is both. He is the resurrection and he is the life. After Jesus made this statement, he asked Martha a very simple question. Do you believe this? And her response conveyed that her soul was tilled well. Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And then there is the interaction between Jesus and Mary. Please note here, look into the words and into the message. We can see God's heart about sickness and death. There's transparency in Jesus. Well, Martha whispered to Mary that Jesus had come, so Mary rushed out to meet him. And as Mary came to Jesus, she said the exact same words as she fell before his feet. Lord, if you had been there, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, if only you would have made it in time before he died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. And again, that same as in verse 38, then Jesus deeply moved again. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus accompanies them to the tomb. He shares in their grief. And a powerful, the shortest verse of the Bible, 35, Jesus wept. In Jesus, we see the heart of God. God's heart is not an uncaring heart. It's not an apathetic heart. It's not a hard heart. But God's heart is full of compassion. It's a heart full of love. He grieves with us. He sorrows with us. Can you see here how much God loves us? And as it says, where Jesus was deeply moved, that deeply moved is that gut-wrenching twist in the soul, in the stomach, in the heart. When there's grief, anguish, and pain, Jesus demonstrated that. Again, that's the compassion. That's the heart of God. And in the next verses, Jesus commanded those present at the tomb of Lazarus, take away the stone. With a loud voice, he proclaimed these words, Lazarus, come out. An event that is really a forerunner of the last day, when the dead shall hear the voice of Jesus and all will rise. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He's the Word spoken of in the Scriptures. He's the Word that brought creation into being. And He's the same Word that healed the sick and then now raised the dead. He spoke these words outside the tomb. And Lazarus, who had begun to decay from 4 days in the tomb, came forth. Now, Jewish tradition at the time had that the corpse would be laid on a linen sheet that was twice the length of the body. Half the sheet was underneath and the other would be on top. Then the feet were bound at the ankles, the arms were tied to the body with linen strips, and the face was bound with a separate cloth. At best, Lazarus could hop and shuffle as he left the tomb. He could hardly walk, but he was walking. He was vertical. He was alive. The account of Lazarus obviously foreshadowed the resurrection of Jesus, but there's a difference. For Lazarus was called to a restoration of a mortal life. Lazarus would face death again. Jesus was resurrected. He conquered death. He would rise to never face death again. How many of us need a restoration? How many of us need the hardened hearts and the soil of our hearts tilled by God? You know, I see this pandemic as a way in which hearts are able to be softened. The hearts of our nation need to be tilled. The hearts of every nation needs to be broken. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to give life and to give it abundantly. Oh, the thief still wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He could care less. But God sent His Son. I have come to give life and to give it abundantly. And Jesus shares with us these words of comfort. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. You know, we often only trust that which we can hear, or that we can see, that we can touch. Yet here on earth, we're reminded nothing lasts. All things on earth are temporary. Nothing on earth is eternal. You know, this physical body is temporary. Your physical bodies are temporary. So we're not to seek what is material. Don't put trust in what is only earthly. Jesus shared the beautiful promise, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. These are words that we can trust. And He has promised to be here with us in this very moment. He has also assured us a future promise. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Because earth is not our eternal home. When we leave this side of eternity, when we leave this earth, then we will reach home. When we believe in Him, our name is written there. Our citizenship is there. Our Savior is there. Our inheritance is there. Our Lord is clear on how we obtain this eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe that He is the resurrection and life? Are you experiencing the fullness of this life? You know, if you desire this fullness, then allow Him to remove the stone that lies in front of the tomb that holds in those things that are squelching your spirit, those things that are keeping you from a full life in Christ. In our gospel, the people obeyed Jesus. They removed the stone from the tomb of death. And that is what faith is all about, removing, yielding every aspect of our lives to allow Jesus to be Lord, Lord of all. In the midst of tears and weeping with faith, a disciple of Christ still trusts, still follows. Faith does not mean that we will not feel pain. that we will not feel weakness, that we will not feel brokenness. Faith does not mean that we must fully understand. But faith means, in spite of death, in spite of adversity, in spite of tears, that our trust remains in God, for He is the resurrection and the life. The Scriptures tell us that God will raise up His disciples on the last day, but He can also raise us up this day. Do you want a deeper relationship with God? Do you believe in Him? Do you truly trust Him? Seek Him. Ask Him to open up the gates of heaven and fill you overflowing with the resurrection life. A life that you need, a life that your soul longs for. If we are truly a resurrection people, then we must yield this flesh. We must move to a life of not my will, but thy will be done. God wants to release us from all bondage. Christ came to set us free from the power of sin and death. He wants to set us free from every tomb that enslaves us. He is the Word made flesh that calls each of us to a resurrected life. He has called us to roll back, remove the stone that covers the tombs of our life. Can you hear this command? Can you hear His voice? Remove the stone and come out. Come out of the tomb and live a resurrection life. Don't let your heart be hardened as clay. Allow the Holy Spirit to till you, to break you up the soil of your heart. Roll away the stone that is keeping you bound. It was interesting, I just read the announcement about a former senator here in Oklahoma, Senator Tom Colburn, who passed away. He died late Friday. And in the family's notice, the statement that they released was, because of his strong faith, he rested in the hope found in John chapter 11, verse 25, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he die. Today he lives in heaven, his family said. Our gospel reading, in a way, presents a choice between life and death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus asked Martha a very simple question. Do you believe this? And do you believe this? Do you truly believe? It's His invitation to you personally to respond with, yes, I believe. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. It is living and active. We thank You for the gift of life, especially life that is everlasting. May Your Spirit use these words today, wherever we are, that You would, in a real way, be present, be real, personal. May You touch each one of our lives, that You are the loving friend, the loving personal Savior and Lord. If there's anyone that is in need of healing, we seek You, we fix our eyes upon You. You are the great healer. You're the one who heals the sick, You raise the dead. We pray for Your protection. We pray that through this pandemic, that people's hearts would turn to You, that there would be revival, not only in our communities, but nationally and internationally. This is an opportunity that You are giving, inviting people to allow an invitation for You to be truly the world's Savior and Lord, having the whole world in Your hands. We commit and trust this to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.